promise you a miracle.
Here at Triple M, the program is Get This, back after our Anzac Day sojourn.
Mm-hmm.
Who's here? It's me, Tony Martin.
Tony.
You've got Ed Gavely. Speaking of locked up, I haven't seen Big Brother for a couple of days. Is anyone left in that white room?
I have no idea. I think Kara almost pushed the button last night.
Oh, because there was nothing to wear?
Nothing to wear.
It's all sensory deprivation.
Mm. The mirrors. Mm. Mm. And so she can't tell if it's nighttime or daytime or what time it is. It's like being in a casino. Mm. And so she's going to get one more night.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Kara.
You know, the nation thanks you. One more night of Kara's riveting entertainment, we'll all be better off.
Now, are they doing that thing of the people in the Big Brother house are watching the white room on their TV?
They are.
So that's a Big Brother for them to watch. Why stop there?
Why not have the people in the white room watching someone locked in a cupboard?
That's a good idea.
Brilliant idea.
Person locked in the cupboard watching someone locked in a Weet-Bix, right? Box.
It could just go on forever. And the last person could just be watching Galen. Just whatever Galen's doing. Just follow. Satellite monitoring.
Can you imagine? Imagine he did something like some kind of crime. And it was your job to tail him, surveillance style. You spent all your day in the tanning salon and down the gym. And back to get the highlights.
Is he still at your gym?
No, I haven't seen him for a while.
Come on, where is he? What about the celebrity boxing in the car park that they were watching on community television? What happened to that?
Didn't happen. Couldn't get a car park.
Couldn't get
a car park big enough to field all the people that want to see it. No, he's not there. No dice.
He's working on something.
He's building to something. That's what I reckon.
So.
Like Rocky, he's just training in a meat locker full of frozen ex-Big Brother housemate cards.
And mirrors.
Pounding the hell out of
them. Full of frozen mirrors, striking poses left and right.
They may be frozen carcasses, but they still look hot.
So true.
What have we missed? What's been going on while we're away? Sylvester Stallone didn't appear in a Sydney court yesterday. Consequently, it was quite popular. But he has come up with an excuse for allegedly bringing 48 vials of human growth hormone into Australia in February. It was for medical reasons.
Exactly.
Medical reasons.
Yeah.
Doctor, I'm a 60-year-old man and I'm supposed to be in a boxing film. What have you got?
60 vials, stat.
I'm doing this new Rambo film under doctor's orders, Your Honour. This letter from Dr. Nick Riviera insists I need to be really, really muscly. Or there's a very real risk I could look like an idiot. Surely that's what it's about. Somatropin, a human growth hormone that can assist bodybuilders. It's because he's your granddad and he's doing a new Rambo film. Mm. Is that a medical reason? Could you pass that off as a medical reason?
Yes.
I don't know. It's, they have got his testimony here, but when the stenographer read it back, all it said was, "Was." Not sure.
I don't quite dismiss.
That's a shoot.
We need to see.
How big does he want to get, though? That's what I mean.
How monumentous is he trying to get?
Brick shit out. That's what he
said, right?
Remember Rambo 3? He was like a plane.
Maybe he's hoping just to be the size of a billboard. So he can just go and stand over, in overpasses.
How sad is this Rambo film going to be?
No, I think it's going to be good.
But Rocky's all right, because that's the whole thing of the film. Yeah. Oh, Granddad's having a box.
Yeah, what about Granddad going to get the terrorist in the jungle?
I don't think that's not going to work as well.
Well, why are lazy Australian seniors not getting on the juice and going fighting the war on terror?
He's going to do a remake of Stop All My Mum Will Shoot, and Estelle Getty will be the love interest this time. Just because he's getting that old. Isn't that the way it's going?
I'm with you.
Stop.
Terrible mental image.
Or my mum will shoot. You know, we get a lot of letters. This is what the Get This listeners are like. They're saying, oh, Mooney Topics, why don't you ever talk about how Mr. Mom, when it came out in England, was called Mr. Mum, but in Australia, it was still Mr. Mom. Investigate. Must find out.
Royal Commission.
Royal Commission. Stop or mate, was it your mum or your mom?
It was mom.
Mom was here.
Okay.
We can handle it. Mr. Mom was Hulk Hogan, was it not?
Michael Keaton.
That was Michael Keaton. You're thinking of Mr. Nanny.
Mr. Nanny. And on the cover, he had a breastplate with two bottles as breasts. Hey, come and get it, kids. Not creepy at all. Mum's got a mustache.
It's got the man boobs. Mm. It's always flopping top here. Hulk Hogan. Big story. Mm-hmm. Plenty. Don't think it just ends with that load of rubbish. There's so much more on offer, so much more bubbling in the Bay Marie. Here, get this. Get this on Triple M around the nation. You're right here.
I mean, we just had a 3.5 minute song to do that in. Mike's on. Open the floodgates.
What's going on, Rick? Are you spiking the soup? There's thumbtacks in this. The white dancing continues. Sorry, Tyne, I realised in that first break, my brain was just a bit slow.
Yeah.
All day yesterday, I went to football,
right.
And then I watched The Wire, solid.
Oh, which stands out your best
one.
It's a good show.
It's the best show.
What about Bunk?
Oh, gosh, Bunk.
I love Bunk. That is the guy who has to stack on a lot more and then play Barry White in the Barry White story.
Oh, perfect.
If you've watched Deadwood and The Sopranos and you think there's nothing else, The Wire is the one to go for.
If you watch I Shouldn't Be Alive, and think maybe there's actually something good on television, perhaps.
I Shouldn't Be Alive.
There's a new show called I Shouldn't Be Alive.
It's just so many contenders.
I know, exactly. Yeah, they have entries every week.
And what did you say, your football team? Are you in Tony Wilson's football team?
Not yet. Tony Wilson and I are maybe joining a soccer team,
which would be great. Well, what was the football yesterday?
Oh, I went to the football. The actual football.
Good game.
Can't possibly talk about that. Not on this program. Are we going somewhere here?
It's time to go to the animal kingdom.
Again.
What is that? It's an animal enjoying a thick shake.
All right, then.
Don't know what animal. I just like to leave an element of mystery for the listeners at home.
Okay. In Belgrade, preparations to sedate as many as 300 horses stabled at Belgrade's racecourse to keep them calm during a Rolling Stones concert.
Oh, yeah.
Serb animal lovers are lobbying to have the gig moved to another venue. The plan has been scuttled after Keith Richards said he just couldn't spare that much training. Instead, they've decided to play Daryl Braithwaite's Horses.
Oh.
It's relevant to horses, and it has the sleep-inducing power of 3 still knots.
That's true. The horses will be painting the stable in their sleep, but still knocks. You mean on the knock?
No. I get so much done around the house now that I'm on the knocks.
On the knocks. So beautiful.
It's a time saver. All right.
Animal Kingdom, anyone got anything else?
No, I thought we'd move on to Australia's controversial work choices legislation.
If we must. Does that have a sting?
Again?
Australia's controversial workplace legislation.
There it is. What is that sound? It's our secret sound. What it is, it's Laurie Oak enjoying a milkshake when the camera's on the person he's talking to. Whenever they go to the person he's talking to, he just has a milkshake.
Really?
That's what I've been told.
One per thought?
It's a really big milkshake.
Wheel it in.
All right, okay, work choices. I don't know much about him, but this bloke in Victoria the other day who was sacked for, quote, operational reasons.
Exactly.
And then replaced by someone willing to do the same job for $25,000 less. Uh-huh. He took his case to the Industrial Relations Commission, who ruled in favour of the employer, saying that under our new work choice laws, quote, the question of a valid reason need not be considered when an argument is advanced regarding the termination being for operational reasons, unquote.
Exactly.
But what exactly are these operational reasons? To help us answer that, we have on the line David Balsack from the Industrial Relations Commission.
Good morning.
Can I ask, what is your actual job down there?
I can't say.
Why not?
Operational reasons.
Yeah. What exactly are operational reasons?
Well, it's a pretty wide brief, pretty much any reasons, as long as they're connected with the operation of your business.
But I have found an orphan in Pakistan who'd be willing to panel the show for $1.50 a week in a bowl of dirt.
This Pakistani bloke, has he ever done that sort of work before?
No, but he does do a very good Mahatma coat.
Yeah, it's hardly a valid reason, is it?
No.
Well, then sack Marsland and hire him.
Well, I thought you said I needed a valid reason.
No, read that quote again. A valid reason need not be considered when the termination is for an operational reason.
So
So you don't need a valid reason as long as you've got an operational reason. But what's my operational reason?
Well, he's going to do it cheaper, isn't he?
Yeah.
Make it easier to operate your business.
Yeah.
And that's an operational reason.
That's the thing you're talking about.
It doesn't need to be. You're not listening to me.
Classified as an operational reason?
And it's not valid.
Right. Okay, this is like the other day. There was no valid reason for him to be sacked.
Thank Christ, if there'd been a valid reason to sack him, they would have to. There were operational reasons.
Which were?
In this instance, the company was suffering from, quote, financial difficulties.
Right, what were those difficulties?
There was a lot of difficulty trying to get the bloke to do the same job for 25 grand less.
Right.
I mean, put yourself in the company's shoes. That's incredibly difficult. You've got to convince the bloke his job doesn't exist anymore, even though you're advertising it in the paper the next day. You're saying that's not difficult?
No, it really is.
You've got to keep it all out of the press. Talk about difficult.
Very difficult.
Make it look like you're not exploiting the legislation.
That's difficult.
Sell the cheaper package to the new bloke.
Endless difficulties.
Endless financial difficulties.
But are these valid reasons?
I should bloody well hope not. Valid reasons need not be considered operational reasons. That's what we're looking for.
Now, Joe Hockey says he's going to review this case.
Well, there's no reason to do that.
It sounds like there's lots of reasons.
Valid reasons, sure, but they need not be considered.
Are there operational reasons?
Well, no, because the company's operating far more effectively since they got the cheaper bloke in.
So there won't be any review?
Well, that depends. When the election's scheduled for.
So the government may fine-tune these laws because of
operational reasons.
David Balsack, it sounds like the Industrial Relations Commission is full of it.
Oh, there's no reason to say that.
Well, that's why I said it. More in a moment.
Around the nation on Triple M, small town John Mellencamp.
Caught up in the Caporal photos.
We are, of course, here. Experiencing Caporal. Wear a cape to work, possibly win a computer. Last day, tomorrow.
And what's been the most interesting thing of this is that people have actually entered.
That's true.
We didn't think there would be anyone. There's been hundreds of them, Nicky, and we may run out of T-shirts.
I found myself in a restaurant with four people caped up for dinner.
When you say capes, you mean?
Well, it was towels.
Towels.
We will accept towels.
Tied around the neck. Yes, so keep the entries coming in. Look at this. Peter has done a beautiful job. Just him in a cape wandering into Centrelink.
Oh, beautiful.
That's pretty good.
That's
nice work. Here we go. Here is Richard. Not you, Marsden. There are Richards. Standing on the corner of Cape Street.
Oh, the cape. And doing a bit of a scratch of the head.
Yeah, yeah. That's his comedy festival poster for next year. Looking good. And here we go. Here's someone. And see, what they've done is they've tried to go, all right, what are they like? I'm going to play to their taste.
Oh, okay.
Which is, if you're talking cats, very good idea.
Very nice.
There is one day left to try and hold your cat down and tie a towel to it and take a photograph. You will win a prize.
And tomorrow we're going to be announcing the winner
of the box of sand
on the show. And you're not going to be here, Ed Cavalier.
Listen, Tone.
I should point out we're not here next week. We've got next week off.
Yeah, but look, I got stuff, man. I got commitments.
What are you doing?
Nah, look, I don't have to. Big note here, but my homeboy Rob Carlton has his sitcom up and about.
What?
Shandon, standing on the Movie Network channel. Wants me for the first step. Whatever.
No, I don't want to keep going on and on about it. You're
shooting tomorrow. Yeah, look, I've got rehearsals and shoots and costumes and makeup, and I don't want to keep going on. Geez, Rich, stop bringing it up. Can we talk about something else that I'm doing an episode of this great show called Shandon? Can we talk about something else for a minute?
What's
on Movie Network channel?
Is it Gus?
Is it Gus from the Coast?
No, it's not.
A new character.
A new character.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm playing David, Rich.
David.
Yeah. Okay.
Huh?
No, that's fantastic.
David also. Yeah.
Maybe I'll slip over there and
See, this is what he wants.
Really?
This is what he wants.
Sidekicking it for David.
Watch
you don't
out.
Even know who he is, and you're already part of the scene.
Ready to do it.
Watch out, CFM drive crew.
That's the way he just, on the set of Boy Town, just showed up in a suit.
He did, and suddenly was record company executive.
Called Max.
Slowly but surely.
Here's some big news we missed from New Zealand, of course. This will show up on Police 10-7, this one. A suspicious package which sparked a bomb scare and evacuation of a New Zealand mail centre was later identified as, of course, a harmless sex aid. Of course it did. One for the dildo squad. Dildo squad?
How? Yes.
Right, is it vibrating?
No.
Well, just send the dildo robot down in case. Listen to this. An airport x-ray machine alerted staff about suspicious wiring in the
parts of
China on Tuesday. And it was placed in an explosive safe overnight.
Gee, it could be a bomb. What do you reckon? We just use...
Nah, it's a bit late for that, isn't it? Shortland Street will be starting.
One for tomorrow morning, I reckon. Just pop it in the safe.
That'll do it.
With all the money and jewellery.
People, stop sending dildos named The Rocket through the post.
Hey,
you're going to get busted.
I'm just thinking it. If you're going to be acting tomorrow, you need to get into shape.
Oh, God.
Up to speed, acting-wise.
I'm quite nervous, Tony.
What about a live sketch?
Yeah, well...
Donkey Courtroom with such a smash hit.
Oh.
The other week.
Yeah, see, look, I'm actually quite nervous, Tony.
It was the other one the other day. I couldn't even follow it.
What?
It was that one we did at the beginning of Talkback.
That's right. No, I was given a line. It's a lie. It's a flaming lie.
And that's Donkey Courtroom.
That was Donkey Courtroom.
There's an even more...
You were great in that.
There was another confusing moment.
What was that? Locked it out of the memory.
All right. I'll rock up and start anyway.
Confusing. We can't even remember what it was.
Okay. So here we go. Where are you going, Tony?
I'm
going
to look up what that confusing schedule
was. All right. He's got it in his little satchel.
I need an explanation.
He's got his manila folder with all these things in there. So what we're going to do, Rich,
yeah.
You're in this one.
Oh, okay.
We're going to cross... Thank you for sounding surprised, even though we tried to rehearse it off air.
Cracking the Chinese market. What the hell was that about?
That went well. Nikki, have we had a big response? Has the Harbin business community right behind us?
Why is Nikki putting a peg on her nose?
That was baffling radio.
Okay.
But what's this going to be?
Well, we're going to cross now live to the National Youth Broadcaster. Yeah, big thanks to Phil for 4 hours of Aussie hip-hop. We've only scratched the surface of the talent there. 1 p.m. on Thursday, you're with the National Broadcaster. Yeah, it's me, Keith, with you this afternoon.
G'day, Keith. Well done. That was great.
Thanks, Bobby. That's just Bobby wishing me a happy 37th birthday today here at the National Youth Broadcaster. Yes, still the baby of the station, and don't they let me know it. On your radio this afternoon, we've got Block Party coming up, some Aussie hip-hop, and now a new track from the Panda Band. Oh, no, before we do that, I've got to tell you that you probably don't know who that are, but I've been a fan of theirs for like 3 years. I saw them at the Southwest Music Festival in the US, tiny venue, 10 of us there. It was just me, Beck, some randoms, and a dude in an awesome Alf t-shirt. What a throwback. Not yet. Well, that's next here on the National Youth Network, but right now it's time for a fantastic new competition that you can enter. Hey, y'all. Are you a 15 to 16-year-old new Australian video artist living in a rural town of no more than 2,000 people? Then why not enter New Shock? Simply send us your take on the war in Iraq, it's My Chemical Romance, and you could win a trip or two to Sydney to hear me talk about all the bands I've seen for the last 12 months. New Shock, brought to you by Big Art and the National Youth Radio Network. We're not going to play that track, but first, let's catch up with the National Youth Network's movie show. Hi everyone, on the movie show tonight, we've got
Are we back now?
I should have waited until we were back.
Yeah.
I could follow that.
Thank you.
That was fantastic.
Good job, Rich.
That was no donkey courtroom at all.
Yeah. Quite nervous. Thank you, Rich. Beautifully done.
Well, it's not over for you, Ed Cavalier, because, you know, we often play Cavaliers, believe it or not.
Yes, we do.
It's a lot of fun for me and Rich and whoever else.
Yeah.
What about the listeners?
They
want a bit of that action.
And what's this I hear you say? What's that noise, Ed?
That's priceless.
That's some CDs I saw you fishing out of the rubbish bin this morning.
They could be yours. Next.
A little bit of hanky-panky and...
Let's do this around the nation on Triple M. In the next hour, Stuart McGill is going to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to pretend to know about cricket, am I?
No, when I first met him, it was at a cricket game. And he said, oh, listen, you know, I'm a fan of Tony. He didn't mention me. And then he said, Richard's been trying to get my job, the Australian cricket team, showing up with the cap. and a bat.
In a suit.
Some bats. But he said, I said, why don't you come on the show? He said, I'd love to. He said, but I don't really want to talk sport. I said, no problem.
Sorted.
Just try.
Because I saw him on that thing, Australia's Favourite Movies. He was great on that.
You know, his movie.
I talk movies. But it's time for a bit of Missy Higgins.
I like it when we have Missy Higgins.
Well, you know what that means, Rich.
Okay. From the stress.
From damage.
What have you got? What method do we want to use?
I've got some change, which I'm going to throw at them, and then if that doesn't work, I have a horse. So here we go. I have some change, Rich. It's undamaged.
It's almost pleasurable.
You release the horse. There you go.
It just ran past.
Oh, wow.
You released the horse. That was an amazing bit of vibe there.
Thank you very much.
Actually, that just tickled.
Did it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to stick this vacuum cleaner down your
own. I'm coming to an outside. I don't actually feel it. They must be here. All this lonely.
This around the nation on Triple M. It's time to play Cavalier's Believe It or Not. Forget Talkback Mountain today. We're going to get the listeners on board. Let's have some Believe It or Not action. Someone wrote a letter to a Melbourne paper this week saying, well, Triple M, please have a day without Nickelback. I have not heard Nickelback on Triple M once this year.
The irony is, the only place that Nickelback now gets played is on this very program.
This show!
So, come on, guys. You're going to write a letter. You know.
The third team and the last laugh. No, on
that's Turk. Up on his trampoline.
Up on his trampoline, high horse.
All right, Turk and Nakrogan. Have we got any of the... Remember when Ed used to do... Because as if it wasn't confusing enough that we had a segment called Cavaliers Believe It or Not.
Mm-hmm.
Ed then had another segment called Ed's Believe It or Not.
Really?
Yeah.
That was when you used to do challenges, remember?
Yeah.
Have we got any of those things?
Okay.
I'm a fan of Hillary Duff. Should have been Richard Muzzler. I'm only having one lunch. To do some actual preparation. Believe it or not, Ed Cavalier.
I remember because I watched The Perfect Man.
It was a segment where you did things you wouldn't normally do, like actual preparation. All right, let's play Cavalier, Believe It or Not.
Those days are over.
A number of headlines, some of them from That's Life and Take 5 magazine.
No, we didn't get Take 5 this week, so they're all out of That's Life.
That's if you're playing at home. And some of them
we didn't get Zoo.
You complaining about it?
I have. And someone said to me today, it's only $1.95, go and buy it.
It's the principle of the show business.
We're going to steal jokes from them.
Some of these headlines have been made up by Ed Cavalier.
Yeah, and your job, Tony Marsland, listeners, is to try and crack the code.
All right, try one out on Marsland.
Okay, Rich.
Yeah.
First one. Okay. Believe it or not, my puppy can tell the time.
Well, if you're talking about a Pavlovian response, I believe that most dogs can indeed tell the time in their own universe and what they consider time to be.
Yeah.
I think that is correct. I believe that. I think that's true.
You believe it in a Pavlovian sense, or you believe it in the sense that someone sent a photograph
in the
best life with their dog with a watch?
With a watch, not necessarily registering anything.
Sure. $50 that got.
Yeah.
There's a subtext to this very segment, Tone. Mm. Can we get our listeners to sneak photographs into That's Life? They win the $50.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a wink in the photo. We read them out on air. Yeah. Everyone's a winner.
All right.
Except That's Life.
We've finished with travel. Hang on a second. So a dog that knows the time, though. I mean, that's just a dog with a watch.
What's your point?
My dog always knows that it's 5 o'clock.
Why?
Because 5 o'clock is dinner time. And apparently it's always 5 o'clock. Look, it's always pointing. It's wearing a watch. I can't read it, but pointing to it at 1:04. Look at that. I've called the speaking cock. I've dialed it. Said schmackos or sausages. Either will do.
The Channel 10 News theme.
Staring at the fridge. Oh, I was on end. There's a crumb up the back. If I could get, like, a coat hanger, I reckon I could snag it out.
I'd love that. I'd love for you to come home and the dog's got, like, an Italian job style set up. to get a crumb. Okay, Tone, ready?
Yes.
I look like my cousin. I reckon that's true. That's just possible.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, hang on. It's just you. You look like your cousin.
No, somebody.
I've seen your family tree.
No. I don't look like...
Quite possible.
Well, I don't look like any of them. You know, so here we go. We look like we just... It's these two girls. They've sent in a story. And it's apparently... This is the bit I like. It's a secret. It's a secret that they look alike.
Yeah.
But here's a photograph.
Oh.
But keep it secret, everyone.
Identical twin cousins.
Yep.
That's wasn't that a show? Wasn't that...
That was Hayley Mills, wasn't it? Is that the old...
Or Paddy Duke.
No, Dobie Gillis.
Okay.
What was it? They're cousins. Identical cousins. You know that song?
Yeah, carefully. Doesn't know what we're talking about.
Sorry, Ed.
You've even lost me.
Okay. Dobie Gillis.
So that's it.
Just babbling, Bartlett. Hayley Mills. Dobie Gillis. Where am I?
No, Hayley Mills was Parent Trap. Dobie Gillis.
The original Parent Trap.
Anyway.
Great stuff. No, so now that's it. So there's two for you.
Okay. What about our listeners? They want some action.
Yeah, oh, the prizes. Do we have the prize thing? I've got prizes.
Wow. Too much of me, is it?
Do we have the prize? Can I say that we've got a journalist in here today?
Yeah, we have.
Michael, because you were complaining we weren't getting any publicity.
I know.
Were you not, though?
I was.
Every day on air. I'd just like to complain I don't have a car.
I'd like to complain I don't have a whole lot of suitcases full of unmarked bills. It's our radio. What a nice
state. But do we have a prize?
Liking Jake Wall. One of those annoying little upright electric scooter things. Ed Cavalier.
Oh, I've got no idea what that was. We're having a very loud discussion about the ending of The Prestige.
We've
got to the bottom of it, which is important.
We can't spoil the end of the movie.
No.
But it's a very odd ending.
Yeah. All I'll say is that I enjoyed the film until I heard Tony's analysis, and then I'm just kicking myself.
100
All those potholes.
100 glass tanks?
Yeah.
Why not just one glass tank? Why build 100? Someone's going to find those 100 glass tanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So spoiler zone. We're ruining a film for people.
What we're playing today is Cavalier's Believe It or Not. Some of the headlines Ed will read out are from Take That magazine.
Take That magazine? That would be a bad magazine.
That's Life magazine. Some of them are pure fiction. Yeah. You could win. I guess it's a prize.
Yeah. There's lots of good DVDs without a trace. People like Desperate Housewives. Don't tell me they don't, Nikki. Neighbours. People love Neighbours. They're amazed at that new storyline with Pepper and her mother.
Going first.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, mate. Believe it or not, I ate a computer.
I'd go along with that.
Well, incorrect, my friend.
No. Dollar, Chris. It could well have been real if you've seen that magazine.
But you know what, Chris? Everybody gets a prize today because we have to get rid of these CDs. So how about a copy of Without a Trace?
Yes, that's better than Neighbours.
There you go.
What's going on in Brisbane today, Chris?
Not a lot, mate. I'm cruising down the coast, so yeah.
Not wasting water, I hope?
Oh, all the time, mate, all the time.
Aren't you guys on level 11 by now?
No, 12 now, yeah.
12. No crying, that's what I've been told.
Thanks, Chris. Have a nice day.
Drive carefully. Who's next?
Hi, Fleur. How are you?
I'm very well, guys. How are we?
We are excellent. You've got the toughest one, Fleur. Are you ready?
Can I say something quickly before I get into it?
Well,
of course you can.
I think Richard was singing the song to the Paddy Duke Show.
Yeah, that's the Paddy Duke Show.
Yeah.
Were they identical twin cousins?
They were.
I knew.
How so? Like, how did that work?
I don't know. It was in the 50s or the 60s or something.
Yeah, you know how I got it confused with David Gillis is because it's the next track on the Television's Greatest Hits 1 and 2 album. First record I ever bought.
All right, we'll bring that up with Triple M's 50 guys. They're going to be in later.
Okie dokie, are you ready,
okay,
Fleur?
I'm ready.
I'm not winking. I love you.
That's
got to
be true.
It is true.
True.
You've done well. You get a copy of Law and Order SVU, which is good news.
Thank you very much.
But listen to this. There was a girl, and she sort of had this wink about it in one of her eyes, and a guy yelled, "Stop winking at me!" And she went, "I'm not. I can't stop it. I always do it." And they started going out, and now they got married.
Oh.
Isn't that nice, Fleur?
Storyline for Neighbours.
That's a good idea. If you're having trouble snagging a man, a disturbing twitch may be the answer.
I love how people get it right or wrong, still get the prize. Well, do you want these, Tony? Would you like to watch Desperate Housewives?
Fair enough. Who's going next?
Exactly right. Hi, Toby. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you going?
I'm excellent, sir. You ready?
I'm ready.
We live in a canoe.
That's my truth.
It's not.
Oh!
I'm in a canoe.
I actually live in a canoe.
See, here you live in Frankston.
Yeah.
All right, well, touche.
Canoes down here.
Or if they're not staying at the Frankston International.
Too much canoodling. Now, would you like a copy of The Amazing Race?
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Bang! Another satisfied customer.
Don't have a choice. Thank you, Toby.
One for the canoe. Who's going next?
Lee, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent, sir. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Mum can't find the post office.
I'm going to say that's Cavalier.
No, sir. Very true. Someone's been in. This is a disappointing horn to finish. With a xylophone kick drum. All right, so this is what happened. Is that this lady's gone overseas. She can't find a post office, and she's turned around, and there's a post office, big sign saying, post office, who cares? Point is, she sent that in to That's Life got $50.
I'm going to have to start writing them. I want $50.
This is what I'm saying. Could you, this is a call to all the listeners. Write in a dodgy story to That's Life with a nod to us somewhere in it. Win the $50, and then I won't give you money, but I'll give you a prize.
We'll be rich. Fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Have we got time for one more?
Oh, yeah? Who's there?
He hasn't got enough for a question.
Hi, Bridget. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You ready?
Yeah, I think.
Where are you calling from, Bridget?
I'm from Brisbane.
What's going on? What are you doing in Brisbane today?
Well, I've just come to visit my auntie and my mum, and it's a bit of a hen house over here.
Oh, okay. Taking them wet and wild. Now the water slide for everybody.
Okay. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, Bridget, thank you for stalling, Tony. My goat wears a hat.
Yes, I believe it.
You believe it?
Yes.
You'd be right. You'd be absolutely right.
Goat does wear it. What are you talking about?
During that mad scramble, I found this on the same page as the dog with the clock, with the watch, I found a picture of a goat with a hat on. That got $50.
Wow!
Do you have any pets, Bridget?
No, not at the moment. Unless you call my husband a pet.
Well, there you go. We'll slap a hat on him. I send in a photograph. $50.
$50. What prize do we have?
You actually get a choice. Would you like Desperate Housewives, the name of which I can't read because there's a sticker over it, or Neighbours from the 7th of the 3rd, 07?
No, I think I have Desperate Housewives.
Do not give away on radio. All right, thanks to everyone who took part in radio's most shambolic segment.
We got an episode of Neighbours left over.
Shambolic. Aren't we the winners? There's something to watch during the news, and then in the next hour, we'll be talking everything but cricket with Stuart McGill.
More trouble than it's worth.
So that'll teach you for pleading no contest. He accepts liability for your mistakes.
and get to slap off the wrist.
What were the mistakes of me talking Soul Plane? Is that the reason he's not in?
DC 10 does not wear a jerry curl.
Cannot come into this country.
Stuart, I understand you want to talk about everything but cricket.
Yes, you mentioned the C word.
I didn't think that was allowed on.
Oh, strictly Big Brother.
Apparently, did you someone drop the magic on Big Brother?
But it was the magic.
It was one of those ones where you had to play magic.
That was old magic. That was there.
The all new magic. Yeah. But it was so quiet. It was one of those ones where you have to play it about 10 times and you can't.
Very self-deprecating, I thought it was.
It was about himself.
It was about himself,
which is, I think, is very reasonable.
People still complain.
You're not wearing a cape, I noticed, so Stuart.
No, okay, well, I just sort of thought that, you know, there's only so much I can bring into a room to prove that I actually worship the ground you walk on.
Okay. And I thought the book was enough.
Oh, the book!
The book!
In case you haven't noticed, ladies and gentlemen, there is a great book out there in space. Tony Martin, I haven't read it, of course, because why would you open the cover?
Exactly, it looks like a children's book.
Hey, Tony,
it's full of foul language.
I have a great Bramble who works at a bookshop, and yeah. That they get asked for it sometimes, and they don't have any stuff, and they don't know where to get it.
We have to order
it online.
You can get it from hammcmillan.com. Or I know there are 7 copies at Borders and Chesterton in Melbourne.
Did you find them all so that they can't return them?
No, I snuck into the humour section and tried not to be seen looking at my own book.
Because all of my mates, they go in and they do these book signings. Everybody thinks they're very generous getting in touch with the people. But the rule is if you sign the book, they can't return them.
That's true. I went into a reading
in Melbourne, and they had a stack of them. They go, can you sign some? And I signed 5. And then I said, I'll do the rest. And they're going, no. There's no need to order the sign.
That is so true.
Hey, you're not wearing a cape. I can understand that, Stuart. A lot of people just...
Well, I had a towel in my backpack.
That'll
work. I had a bit out of it. Oh, well, yeah, if you'd just been gracious about the people making an effort with the towel in the restaurant.
I think people assume we're joking, but I'm afraid...
Might be it's the way we're taking the pace. Maybe it's the lot not having this. Maybe it's the lot might just give cape from a miss.
Just like me.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What do you want?
Is that some kind of cape?
Why, yes, it is.
So what's the idea?
It's something called cape.
It sounds really well thought out. It is. What's more, we've gone and got a prize.
That's not like you.
I know, check it out. In a box of sand, yeah, this for once has got a proper prize. So get your cape.
But who's got a cape?
Oh, for sake, a bathtub will do.
I'll just roll it round my neck.
And once you're getting round in a cape, in amazement they will gain.
On Triple M. I wasn't listening, I'll admit it, listeners, because I was having a chat with Stuart McGill. I'm on the cricket,
though.
I have not been on Dave the Cricket, okay?
I know the pictures look like I'm on Dave the Cricket,
but it's not you.
The show.
I agree. It looks very much like
the program.
We're talking about the show, the cricket. Oh, right. You know that one? It's just always on. It goes for hours and hours. And it's on for 3 months and there's still not a winner. Here's what I know you from, Stuart. That thing, Australia's Favourite Movies on the ABC. You were excellent on that.
Magnificent show that was. That was probably the peak of my television career.
What were the movies, though? They were very... Emily somehow made it.
Top 10 of all time.
Lucy's favourite film.
Yeah, she wasn't happy with that.
No.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko. Shawshank. We had... Shawshank's an overrated film, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Rings, Part 1, 2 and 3 made it to number 1.
People love Shawshank Redemption, but it is based on the most outrageous coincidence in the history of movies. Well, if you think about it, you know, I don't want to spoil the ending, so maybe turn it off if you haven't seen it.
But based on the numbers in that everybody's seen it three times anyway.
Okay.
So go for it.
Tim Robbins arrives home. His wife's having sex with someone else.
Mm.
He goes out to the car and gets his gun.
Yes.
In the 3 minutes it takes him to go and get the gun, a burglar breaks into the house and kills his wife, beats him to it. That is the premise of the film.
You wouldn't believe it.
But you don't find that out till like 2.5 hours later, by which time you've forgotten the beginning.
And you're asleep.
But when you watch it the second time, you're going, hang on, that.
Maybe
he goes out to get the gun.
That's probably why it's rented so many times, because people fall asleep generally around the 2 hours.
Exactly.
And they've got to get it out again.
And the other question is, when he fashions the tunnel and escapes, how does he put the poster back up behind him? Think about that. It's a very tight tunnel.
The best prison escape film is Raising Arizona.
Oh, it's pretty good.
As good as it gets.
Yeah, the escape from prison.
Lisa Simpson did a pretty good job. Great escape.
She did a good job as well. So
getting hold of the dummy.
There's a couple there. There's a couple of good ones there.
I think Maggie Simpson.
Maggie.
Lisa.
Sorry.
Prison escape movie. Stir Crazy. I mean, there's
a good one.
So many to choose from. Did you
have a great voice, that big fat bald guy, didn't you? In Stir Crazy. What was his name? The big scary monster psycho guy.
Like a
voice like an angel.
I forget now. No.
Come on, you guys are supposed to be the movie buff.
Well, I have to say, I've never seen Stir Crazy.
Oh, and you just drop it willy nilly.
I love Silver Streak.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Then,
well, that means that feel free to mention Stir Crazy. Then
I know the bad guy, and that was Patrick McGoohan.
Yeah,
stuck his head out the window of the train, got it chopped off. That's not in a comedy. That's one of the first decapitations in a comedy. I think you're fine.
Were there any movies that you yourself thought should have been in the top 10 that weren't there?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Tony. I think that there was a truly great piece of film shot in the, late 80s, Frog Dreaming.
Frog Dreaming, yes. Australian film. Brian Trenchard-Smith, the director.
Yes.
BTS.
Starring the number 24 actor in the VH1's greatest child stars of all time, Henry Thomas.
Oh, man.
And featuring one of the most beautiful young girls ever to grace this screen.
Who's that?
Rachel Friend.
Oh, your missus.
AKA The Quest, AKA The Go Kids. Look. Pretty much in every country it's sold, it's known by something else. But my little boy hasn't watched it yet, and I'm just bought it. Just sort of
that'd
be cool.
I've never seen it. What goes on?
Oh, stuff.
Still great. All right.
I don't want to ruin the end, because based on my favourite film numbers, nobody's actually watched it. But I'm looking forward to it, actually. I haven't seen it yet myself.
Now, Franklin Ajay is also in Stir Crazy.
Oh, yes, he is. He's great. Franklin Ajay also plays, and I'm sorry I have to use the N-word.
Don't.
I won't use it. The N-word general.
He does.
Franklin Ajay.
Yeah.
Brilliant comedian.
Mm.
Pops up in weird films.
Mm-hmm.
Pops up in
Car Wash.
Yep. Convoy.
Yeah.
The Jazz Singer. And I asked him about that. The Jazz Singer, the modern one with Neil Diamond. And he goes, I'm the only guy in the history of cinema to be thrown in jail for beating up Neil Diamond and be bailed out by Laurence Olivier.
Yes, I can retire happy now.
And he's in The Burbs.
That's very good.
Comedy.
Get off the internet, Ed.
No. The Burbs is one of those movies that starts with the Universal logo and then goes in closer and closer and closer to the planet Earth and all the way down and all the way down and into someone's backyard. Sounds easy now. Pre-digital, very hard to do.
Is that right, Tony?
Very hard.
What, you have to build a model and stuff
like the sign big enough
to start with?
It's impossible in those days.
Was that a Joe Dante?
It was.
Joe Dante.
Great film.
The kids can do that shot now on their IMAX. But it's those days.
With Google Earth.
In those Frog Dreaming years.
So, okay, why did you get chosen, Stuart, to do that shot?
Look, I'm not really sure. It's probably along the same lines as, why you chose me to be on this show, Ed. I don't know much about film. Look, I love films. Well, I tend to spend a lot of time by myself in hotel rooms, and lots of the other films in the rooms don't have words, so it sort of gets a bit frustrating.
you know, I've seen most things out. And especially when I was younger, I used to watch all of it. So.
Oh, what ones did you like when you were a kid?
Mate, I'm actually a specialist on kids' films at the moment because, obviously, I've got a four-year-old. And,
wow.
I'm actually sick and tired now of all these. I used to be a big fan of shows like The Simpsons and stuff like that that were for adults but were, you know, attracted to children. But now I've realised that the kids don't really... I don't get them at all. You know, I just went to see Meet the Robinsons, and I just thought it was crap, and my little boy didn't really know what was going on, but he thinks it's cool because we've gone to the movie. Too much stuff going on. He doesn't really know. 2 days later, we watched Curious George on the TV, and it's a lot more basic, very, very simple storyline, but he's laughing and rolling around on the floor. He thinks it's great, and unfortunately, I'm singing along to Jack Johnson. That's my week.
That's
bad. It was the nicest film I've seen in a long time.
When I was a kid, our favourite films were the Terence Hill and Bud Spencer movies, which were from Italy, but were redubbed here. In fact, their names weren't even Terence Hill and Bud Spencer, and it was just punch-off.
I like that sort of stuff. I used to watch, you know, like the old westerns on the TV and stuff too. And Lost in Space was my favourite. In grade one, that was my first creative writing piece about Lost in Space. I loved it.
What was your take?
I pretty much plagiarised the opening sequence. But, you know, you're 6 years old, you can do what you like.
That's really right. They can't get you. They can't touch you.
And our little girl, Penny, is actually named after a character in The Rescuers. Rescuers, two little mice in the Rescue Aid Society.
I remember this. And then there was the Rescuers Down Under. And they sit around on a gum leaf. And one of the mice wears a beret.
To go and ruin it. You know, I can't remember what her name is now, but the little girl that was being rescued by the two mice, her name was Penny, and my little boy came up with a name after I showed him the video.
That's good.
I know that if you freeze frame the rescuers at one particular point, there is a hidden pornographic scene in one of the windows.
The 38 minute mark.
That's true.
Oh, believe it or not, in which urban myth? Rescuers Volume 1, released in 1976, 38 minute mark. Naked woman halfway up the screen.
That's true. It's because in the old days, the animators could not envision the possibility of home video. They didn't think there would be any way to freeze one frame.
All those old Disney cartoons, it's absolutely
chock a block.
Short bus. For one frame. Be Dumbo, Dumbo, Dumbo. Short bus, Dumbo, Dumbo. You slow it down.
Oh, man.
It's not funny even when you're talking about it.
All right. We haven't talked cricket yet. I don't expect we will. Here again, this. Suddenly I see here get this on Triple M. Stuart McGill is with us. We haven't mentioned cricket. I'll ask my one cricketing question I've been asking.
Your time starts now.
Of cricketers for 10 years. Can you tell me an interesting story about Ewan Chatfield?
He died on a cricket field.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Is he dead?
His heart stopped on a cricket field and he was... stopped.
Just from the excitement?
No, he got hit with a cricket ball.
Oh, no.
And he was revived on the cricket ball. There you go. There's your interest in
that. That is a first. Who is the most boring cricketer at the moment?
There you go. I'm still contracted. I'm not going anywhere near that one.
No, that's unfair.
Can I say who the most boring coach is?
No, I can't say that one either.
Oh, well.
All right, let's get back on to movies. Man, you know a lot about the kids' movies.
I love
movies. Stuart Little, they're watching that.
Oh, they love Stuart Little, especially Stuart Little 2. It's got an aeroplane instead of just a car. That's cool.
What was your interesting Stuart Little fact, Mr. Marsden?
I think the first movie was written by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, God. No wonder he's having nightmares.
Is there a twist at the end?
Yeah, there should be. I think it must have been one of those studio deals where they said, well, you can make The Sixth Sense, but you've got to write this one for us.
Well,
something like that?
Curious George screenplay is written by the guy that does Austin Powers.
really?
That's why I'm liking it. I don't know, yeah. And it's got Will Ferrell in it, the voice of.
Will Ferrell, he's done pretty much every sport there is. He's got ice skating coming out, and now he's filming one about basketball.
Yep.
Surely a cricket movie.
Oh, God.
Surely he could get down to his underpants in that.
Oh, yeah, imagine the changing room shot. I could play an umpire in that one, couldn't I?
Great cameo. Have there been any good cricket movies ever?
Yes, there is. Thanks for asking me all the questions I can answer. It's an Indian movie. It's called Lagan.
Oh, yes,
it's an absolute cracker.
That's
and it's well worth a watch.
What's it about? Cricket, but what happened? Are there any good cricket movies out there, Ed Cavalier?
You know what I mean.
You tell me what I mean.
What happens in the movie.
Do you want his job? You can have it. Seriously.
A grizzled old coach who's been told he'll never work again gets a lot of misfits and ragtags together and they win.
That's
the last.
Mighty Ducks. It is. It's very true.
Baby's best.
Actually, that's a very good point. Okay, I'm out, Terry.
All right. Cricket movies. Because, you know, one of the things I find odd is that we're here in Australia. People are football mad.
They are.
Don't you deny it? They are.
No, they are.
Where are the football movies? There was The Club in 1980.
Which is a great movie.
There was that one, Footy Legends.
Footy Legends.
Aussie Rules. Rules.
Which one?
Aussie Rules.
Right, but that was kind of like
Giraffe. It wasn't really a football movie.
We had that a football backdrop.
The great McCarthy back in the 70s. But
the game's most forward full forward.
The one! Now on DVD. But I heard they're remaking The Club. That might just be a rumour, but I've heard they're remaking
it. There's a new drama coming on the ABC about AFL. I just want to get the haircuts right. That's all I care about. I'm not eligible because I'm here doing this.
Okay. Yeah, Stuart has hit the nail on the head as a throwaway there. Warwick Capper. No sign of Yobbo's up the guts that film he was making last year. Get him into the new club.
Well, he's got to be in there. He's just looking for that serious role of it.
You know, Frank Wilson. Remember Frank Wilson having a chill in that film?
The club.
That's one of the funniest things of all time. They can't top that.
Well, look, it is surprising that they don't make more footy-based stuff.
Mm.
Sure. See, doesn't the time start going really slowly when you start talking about sports?
It does. All of us start having to think, like, what do I know? We're well aware of that clock. We've had it removed from the studio and blown up in the car park several times, but they keep putting it back. Someone has rung up to say the fat bloke in Stir Crazy I can't even read this name. Oh, King Kong Bundy!
King Kong Bundy.
The wrestler.
The superstar wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
He was Hulk Hogan's original nemesis, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then Andre the Giant took over from him. And then the Ultimate Warrior took over from him. And then they lost me. I think I turned 10.
I think King Kong Bundy is now the governor of a state, probably.
I think it is King Kong Bundy. King Kong Bundy was in Ed Wood, but I don't think he was in Stir Crazy.
Oh, this guy's bigger than King Kong Bundy. Did he play Tor Johnson in Ed Wood?
Yeah, he did.
Fantastic.
I think it was. Well, it could be, maybe it was George the Animal Steel.
We're
in trouble.
Okay, I feel we've lost everybody now.
Okay.
Let's get the listeners
now
back.
We can talk about what we really want to talk about.
Benji, have you ever won a bet, a wacky bet?
A wacky bet.
Think about that.
Okay.
We'll play some messages and we'll be back with Mad Bets next. It's on Triple M around the nation. We've got Stuart McGill with us talking about how he doesn't have time to watch as many movies as he'd like to because he's foolishly gone and had children.
That's the way it goes. But the thing is, I get to watch some good films nowadays.
Oh, look, we've got it wrong again. Our credibility as nerds is severely on the line today. It wasn't King Kong Bundy in Stir Crazy. Four people called up to say it was.
Well, four of us got it wrong, so I guess
Who was it?
I'm gathering the character was Grossberger.
Yes, it was.
Okay, and it was a guy called, who passed away, sadly, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But Erland Van Lith.
Oh, what is the Erland Van Lith story, Richard Basel?
He's an amateur wrestler and so on and so forth. He was also in The Wanderers, and The Running Man is Dynamo.
Oh!
Good. And George the Animal Steel was in Ed Wood.
Ed Wood as Tor Johnson, and the confusion may have arisen because King Kong Bundy was in Moving.
What we know about Moving is that Randy Quaid's in that
And
holds a hilarious business meeting where the only thing he brings is a baseball bat in a suit in a briefcase.
That's a good story.
That's about the way he does business.
Great moments in cinema. Forget him. Put them behind you. We're talking mad bets. Why would we be doing this, Ed?
Because there's a guy who in England who bet some bookmakers when he was 90, 10 years ago, that he'd make it to 100. They said, as if he's on his last legs, they're all trying to pull the plug and, you know, get him to take up smoking and stuff. But he's beaten them. He had his 100th birthday yesterday. He collected $25,000.
Wow. $25,000 for making it to 100.
And the bookmaker said, we've got to stop taking these bets. They're really starting to cost us.
How would you spend $25,000 at 100 years old?
Oh, pen so that you could write angry letters.
Night after the cross.
Night after the cross.
A couple of strip clubs.
Is that your recommendation?
I don't know. I'm just wondering what turns on a 100-year-old. I don't know.
Have you made any mad bets or won?
I don't gamble at all, being a sportsman.
Surely the Australian cricket team, there'd be constant goading into foolish betting activity. No, not me.
I'm not asking you about a serious betting stand.
You've got that look on your face. It's not a tribunal.
This is the media, right?
No, I don't.
Mad bets, I tell
you. Oh, it's mixed bag results. We sort of played pretty well. Team effort. What else did we do?
Thank the boys.
Thank the boys for their effort.
Coach, a lot of work was done before the game, of course.
Everyone gave 110% on the day.
110%. I'm getting my head's hurting.
Media training.
Stop. Where is that media training when you need it?
Surely, because it must have been a mad bit. Greg Fleet comes on this show. He used to have a substance abuse problem way back in the 90s, and he would get money off other comedians by... He used to do it at the ESPY. He'd go, just before you go on, he'd say $10 if you can open with a joke about, and he'd just make up a bizarre subject. Wow. He'd say things like, I'd be just about to go on, he'd go, $10, you have to give me $10 unless you open with a joke about Dr. Oliver Sacks, author of The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. So you go out there, and I think I opened that time with, I've just come from seeing Dr. Oliver Sacks, comedy, it's hilarious. He opens with, take my hat, please. And then this was the reaction. That was it.
Yeah.
And a bit of that.
And then your whole act shot the foot. But you saved $10.
Isn't that, that's the reaction to an Oliver Sacks joke at the end of me in Melbourne.
There it is.
Wait, so you don't have to, but then you have to pay Greg, don't you?
No, because I did.
But it died.
It didn't matter if it died, you just got to do it. That's the best.
Greg was starting back next week, huh?
That's Glenn Flett.
You know what he was like.
Glenn Flett, as he was advertised recently.
Mr. Marvin, surely you've done a mad bet.
I'm not a crazy gambling dude, but I had an ex-girlfriend who was so good at blackjack, and seriously, before if we were going to see a movie and would have a spare 20 minutes, she'd say, let's pop into the casino, and she would go in with $50, and seriously, we would walk out with like $450.
Every time, she
was amazing blackjack player. It's kind of emasculating as well, because isn't it the girl who's meant to blow on the dice and give the sort of good luck cleavage shake and what have you?
Yeah, kind of hang up the shoulder.
Has she made any money since she dumped you, mate?
Well, I guess so, maybe. I keep on seeing her on the poker shows. But she was just amazing. And it's just kind of, because I have no idea what I'm doing, it's just kind of, you know, isn't that the man?
Did you just have to hold the bag? Hold the handbag?
Hold the handbag. Enjoy a big night at the casino.
I'm really the most macho man on the planet, so I'm not going to give you a hard time.
Yeah, the idea of a tool shed's a cellar. So
there you go.
Much bloke in this room, clearly.
What about our listeners? Surely they've been involved in a mad bet.
Please, listeners, this is where I'm at. I know that you're out there. I know that you've nailed yourself to things for $10. I know that you have. Give us a ring.
1-333-53.
Cheap shot.
We were saying how,
Stuart is a bowler of some repute.
Yeah.
Some repute. Mm. And the first time we ever met was at a cricket game. Where I bowled you first ball.
What?
The things you do for charity, eh?
Oh, it was a charity match.
Thank you. You're a known batsman.
You're known
for your batting.
You can't bowl me out. And we're talking mad bets. And is there someone, a fellow cricketer?
Yes, I'd just like to send out a little message. Wayne Holdsworth, if you're listening, why don't you give us a call, mate? I think you know what I'm talking about.
What are you having for lunch?
Weenie boy.
I'm not sure if that story's fit for broadcast. Maybe we'll put it on the internet. Who's been involved in a mad bet, Ed Cavalier?
Steve, how are you?
Yeah, g'day, boys. I was up in Darwin a couple of years ago at the Blue Hill Bar. Remember it very well. Yeah. Very, very late at night. It was about 1:30.
Yeah.
And we're watching the one-day game between Australia and Bangladesh.
Yes.
And Bangladesh were absolutely giving us a toweling up. Yeah, and it got down to the last over. They had 5 wickets left. They had 7 runs to get with 6 balls.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender, being a bit of a big nutter himself, he grabs the $100 note, slams it down on the bar, and he says, "I bet we win." And fair dinkum, this bloke's off his chops. So I couldn't get my wallet out of my back pocket quick enough. I just put that on my shoulder. So I've put down the bet, and first ball up, they get a 6. Scores are tied.
Yep.
He flinged me the money, got security to escort me, made out. We never saw the winning game.
Oh, really?
I thought you were going to say they hit the 6, and it was at that point that you noticed the colour of his skin. I bet we win. He was a Bangladeshi.
Right? He knew something. He knew something we didn't.
So you got turfed out rather than get your winning.
Yeah, no, we got our winning.
Oh, you got it?
It was the end of the night. We'd actually convinced him to keep the bar open a bit longer, but he chucked us out before the actual winning runs were scored.
Yeah.
With our money, yeah.
This is the danger of performing financial transactions when it's 1:30 drunk o'clock. When will our listeners learn?
Hey, thanks, Steve. Hey, Luke, how are you?
Luke?
Hello there.
Hey, Luke. What happened?
Well, look, guys, back many years ago when I was playing football, I used to shake my ankles before every game.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, one of my teammates said, "Oh, I bet you can't keep that tape on for the rest of the weekend."
Right.
And I said, "Well, look, I'll tell you what, let's make this a bit of a bet, and let's see if I can keep it on for the week.
Yep.
And if I do, then you owe me a slab of beer. And if not, then I'll buy you." And he said, "Well, let's make it a real bet and keep it on for 3 months, for the whole season."
Wow. Did you do it?
I did.
Yep.
And it was two crates of beer or a night out on the drink. And so I got to the last game of the season, and I'd kept the tape on and saw that the crowd had come down to watch me. And what had happened then is they got into disappearing act, and I ended up with no beer, but a very bad case of no feeling in my foot.
What a rip-off. And sadly, no prizes for calling us and telling us about it.
What was the total amount of time you were taped up?
Almost just 3.5 months.
3.5 months.
Yeah.
Well, you've got the Cascade Brewery in Hobart for that.
All of it. Thank you, Luke. Hello, John. How are you?
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Your bet?
Yeah, it's pretty lame. I used to catch the train to school from Ormond to Caulfield. It's in Melbourne.
Yep, yep.
And I made a bet with a mate that the Sydney Loop had 4 tunnels, mm-hmm. not 2. And I was right and he was wrong.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Man. And I won a set of BMX forks.
What are the trains like these days? As a commuter, do you find, are they turning up? Are the Connex people on the case?
I don't catch a train anymore, I drive.
Yeah, I was told recently it was just the Pup and Billy was doing, I think, the Essendon line.
I promise the tank engine's more reliable.
Thank you, John.
Very reliable. Likes to chat.
Gavin, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm excellent, mate. Your bet?
We bet my cousin $3.50 to jump off a bridge in Budgiewoy and try and bomb a boat.
And?
Ended up bombing the boat.
Did you pay him the $3.50?
No, I called it short at $3.
I'm holding it up to scratch.
Yeah, you missed the boat completely.
Fair enough, Gavin. Got to have standards in this modern world. Absolutely right.
Time for one more.
Neville, how are you?
Yeah, g'day. A few months ago, actually, a bunch of guys sitting around the lunchroom talking about a young fellow that ate a jar of crushed garlic for a bet. And I made the mistake of saying, "That's nothing."
And
of course, ended up eating a jar of garlic for $60. They're sitting next to me again in the TV.
And how bad was it? Like, at what point did it just get, like, unbelievably strong and powerful?
The moment I had the first spoonful, I realised I'd made a horrible mistake.
Thank you, Neville. Oh, look, I know we don't have time, but Greg, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
What did you do?
We bet my mate to walk through Sandgate Shopping Centre in a wetsuit and a rash vest with a wax comb in his hand and going to the surf shops and inquire about surfboards. And then he walked through one end of the shopping centre to the other and bought a block of six wax.
What did you get for this?
$101.50.
Oh, there you go. It's all worth it. It is a long walk, though, one end of Fountain Gate to the other. Very few have made it.
All right, Greg. Thank you, everyone.
And sadly, we didn't have time for the bloke who spent time.
Quality time.
With a pre-ops trainee.
Oh,
that'll be our co-host tomorrow. Stuart's written down some great ideas. We're not going to let you go and try that garlic one yet.
No.
We've got more music. And are we going to have time? Some poker action.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so. Here, get this.
Jane!
Yes, I'd see somebody about that. That's a bit good, Charlotte. Here, get this on Triple M. Stuart McGill is sitting in. Now, normally we'd sign off about here. We should do. And if we did, it would be the first time ever we'd run to time.
Amazing thing.
But we're not on this week. We've got a week off, so we're just trying to stack as much in value. That's what we're trying to give the listeners. Poker. Do you watch the World Poker Tour?
I do. I like it.
Do you
poker,
like that?
Yeah, I like it.
Do you like Vince Van Patten and like?
I'm a little bit disappointed with the Australian tables, though, because the tables aren't set up right. You can't see the cards as well.
Oh, really?
No. It's okay. They're getting there.
And, the you know, it's the commentators. They're not, you know, they don't have Vince Patten with his laying down the twigs and branches.
He's almost as good as the narrator on The Iron Chef.
Oh, yeah. They dub the voices, don't they?
They're the most delicious. No, they don't. Food, I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
But they dub them with somebody really excitable.
The guy that did monkey voiceover.
Yeah. He's
so accurate. Yeah. They've obviously recorded the voiceover a couple of years later in America, but the voiceover guy still goes, it smells great, doesn't it? I was on the World Poker Tour on the weekend. Have a listen.
See, I thought you couldn't hear Mike and Vince upstairs,
but have a listen to this.
Let's go back down to one pit on Nick Robin.
You don't understand.
I have a child on the phone. I have a child that can be done. Joe DeWall and a nanny convention. We don't have a big smile by the 21-year-old.
Hey, down to a jail.
Well, Tony is the one to drive.
Guys, would you keep it down out there?
Tough decision for Tony right here.
Oh, come on.
He caps his cards and you can see the strain in his face.
Well, that's not adding too much pressure. Oh, come on. We've got the Jude Law, Joe.
I'm agonizing over this decision.
No, I'm agonizing over this decision. Come up to that
f***ing booth. Over 1.2 million in chips. Cost him not quite half of them to make the call if he wants to make it.
Would you let me just make it?
He's on life support as he gets up on his chair.
Oh, would you two just stop talking and let me concentrate on my all right,
out the all in. There we go. All in. Tony is moving all in here with the A5. That's the Tony we know.
Thank you very much. Good on you guys.
Amateur player.
Oh, for
still left in this tournament, man, this guy got in on a $425 bet. That is incredible for a guy who's only been on the poker 2 years.
2 years?
He's only with a 49
in here. 2 years? I mean, all in. I think all in.
Before Nick's chips even hit the felt, all in Tony goes all in again. All in Tony finally starting to live back up to his name here a little bit. Moment in the sun could be over here shortly. Let's see what happens. Here comes the pop.
I have not dropped any nuts.
He has dropped the king of us.
Oh, he is a dumbass.
All of a sudden, the two agents are back in.
cases right now. Wow. Five comes off, it is over.
Wasn't that bloke Sir Crazy?
Erlen Van Lick.